Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Let's turn our attention to Worcester. So Worcester has had a vibrant and growing economy. Bloomberg recently rated them 8th out of 100 large U.S. cities in terms of their potential for growth. At the same time, they're being hit hard by this latest wave of the coronavirus. The DCU Center, in fact, is again being converted to a field hospital to help deal with surging cases. All of that makes Worcester a kind of potential case study for all of us in terms of how it navigates the virus and its economic recovery on the other side. Joining us now is Worcester City Manager Edward Augustus Jr. Edward, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let me just start by asking, Thanksgiving's coming up. How are you, your family? How you doing?
I think everybody's pretty stressed out, trying to figure out how to enjoy a holiday season with lots of restrictions and lots of changes. So I think my family, like every family in the country, is stressed but trying to make the best of a tough situation.
Yeah. On WBUR this morning, we heard from Dr. John Broach, who's emergency medicine specialist at UMass Memorial. He's going to serve as the medical director of this field hospital. He said that Worcester's already beginning to feel the effects of this second wave in terms of, you know, hospitalizations capacity. You said last Thursday, after the city had its 300th COVID death, quote, "We are not at a good place in the city of Worcester," end quote. I am sorry about those deaths. And I want to ask you today, where is the city in the surge?
Unfortunately, we're continuing to see a significant increase in the number of cases and in the hospitalizations. We're on track. We do a weekly press conference every Thursday, and we're probably on track for tomorrow's press conference to announce about 600 additional cases, which is just a significant increase over the last week and significantly above the weeks prior. So I think that we're going to see a surge that is more significant than what we saw in the springtime, at least in terms of cases. We're hopeful that that doesn't turn into a significant increase in terms of mortality. There are more therapeutics. I think our healthcare community has figured out better strategies for treating patients. But it's still a very dangerous, worrisome time. And the DCU is just the evidence of what we're anticipating to be a number of weeks of increasing numbers, both in cases and hospitalization.
Does it feel out of control to you right now?
I don't know if it's out of control, but it certainly is clear that there's community spread at a significant rate. We've got a number of cases that we cannot tie back to a particular, you know, family gathering or restaurant or event. And so that just suggests that it's very much present in the community and people are not clear on where they're picking it up, where it's being transmitted from person to person, which makes it all the more scary and all the more essential that, you know, we get better compliance with the mask requirements, with the social distancing, you know, limiting times when you are coming in contact with folks, you know, whether it be inside dining or retail. And we know we're in the time of season with the weather being colder, people are moving inside. We know we're in the holiday season, so people are shopping and trying to reconnect with families. And so the message is that much harder given the season and given, quite honestly, I think some fatigue that people have with, you know, following those measures.
So I'm really hearing you, especially with the amount of unknown about, you know, where it's coming from, how people are getting it other than speculation. It sounds like this really is about how you get people to return to or dial up to a level of compliance that is both voluntary and that you're not getting right now. So how do you do that?
You know, we've really tried to figure out every which way. A couple of weeks ago, as you mentioned in your introduction, we did a visual display of what the toll of the virus has taken just on the Worcester population. 300, we put 300 roses kind of in the shape of a heart, which is part of our seal of the city, or the heart of the Commonwealth, right in the middle of the state. And we wanted to give a visual representation of how many lives have been lost, how many people started 2020 with us and are not here now because of the virus. And, you know, we've had young people. We had a 21-year-old young man, no pre-existing conditions, who back in April got the virus, ended up being on a vent, and was very close to losing his life, to try to put a face and a story behind the idea that young people, who often find themselves, you know, think of themselves as invincible, or if I get it, it won't be a big deal, to try to remind people, no, that's not always the case. It can be a big deal. It can be a life-threatening situation. It's not just elderly or people with, you know, pre-existing conditions. Anybody can get this, and anybody can get it in a severe way. And we're not quite clear why that is, why some people seem to get, you know, that much sicker without those pre-existing conditions, but it's possible, and so everybody should be on their guard.
I got to tell you, the mental image of 300 roses in the shape of a heart is just a gut punch. Well, how is the community of Worcester doing? What's the collective psyche or well-being of Worcester right now?
I think overall good. The people in Worcester really are resilient. You know, Worcester has, like a lot of communities, had its ups and downs economically. We've had firefighter losses, you know, in recent years that have really, you know, challenged the community and shooken it to its core, whether it be 20 years ago with the Worcester Six or even just a year ago with Lieutenant Menard. And, you know, Worcester has proven itself to be resilient and tough and resourceful. And I think we're seeing that. But, you know, when you drag it out over now these many months and with the prospect of going through the holiday season and probably into 21, you know, I know there's a fatigue, there's a frustration, there's the collective kind of anxiety and you know, trauma, really, that families are experiencing, not only trying to keep everybody safe with from the virus, but maybe having kids at home, they're trying to keep up with the online learning, maybe with a job that, you know, somebody in the family has lost or had their hours cut back on, rents that are back due. I mean, there's a lot of pressures on people and families, and you know, we need to continue to just do everything we can to support them. And, you know, we've had a Worcester Together Fund, which raised almost $11 million that really helped fill some of the gaps that the federal, state, and local funding couldn't fill with, for meals, for testing of the homeless, for, you know, help with back due rent, helping some of our small businesses, our arts and cultural organizations, not-for-profits, many of which, you know, are teetering because they haven't been able to have their fundraisers and their other events that kind of keep them functioning. So I think we're all in a challenging time and, you know, concerned about the future.
You know, I don't want to sound callous by turning to the future, and I don't want to be in denial about the moment we're in, but I do want to take a minute to look at what the future could be for Worcester and what that's going to take. You know, the airport's been a priority for the city, but my understanding is all major airlines have stopped flying in and out. The Woo Sox have been an exciting and promising thing for Worcester. You know, tickets to sit atop the Worcester Wall went on sale today. They're supposed to start playing in the spring, but that contract's not done. Do you have the building blocks you need in place to move forward economically once we have a vaccine in hand and are starting to find ourselves on the other side of this pandemic?
I really think we do. You know, there's certainly setbacks that Worcester's experiencing like any other place is experiencing. And the travel and tourism industry is particularly hard hit. And we know airlines had been reduced by 90-95%. And so as soon as the PPE, you know, requirements elapsed, many of them canceled services to cities around the country. And Worcester certainly was impacted by that. We're seeing hotels particularly hard hit. We are seeing, you know, some of the retailers hard hit. We still are seeing very strong activities in life sciences. You know, Worcester's home to the medical school. We have a very big and growing biotechnology park. And we have a very robust biomanufacturing sector, Wuxi Biologics, which is a Chinese-owned biomanufacturing company has broke ground. They're building their facility. Two other sites on that biomanufacturing park are under construction. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing strong signs there. Also, the housing sector is particularly strong here in Worcester. We have one of the most robust housing markets in the state and in the country, quite honestly. So we're seeing weakness in some areas of the economy, strength in other areas. And, you know, but I think the fundamentals of Worcester are strong. We've got a great workforce. Yeah.
And that is encouraging, and I believe you. And yet I also want to ask you, some things must be hanging in the balance. If it's not the airport, if it's not the WooSox, although that one, I have to admit, as an observer, looks like it's hanging in the balance. Are there some critical things hanging in the balance that you think need particular attention or are going to have to kind of break right for you?
Well, you know, there's a number of projects that have had to be put on hold. We've had hotel development. Some of the development around the ballpark has had to be put on a slower schedule than originally was planned. Several of them were hotels, office buildings. Those areas are tough to finance right now because mm-hmm. people don't know what the future of, you know, office space is going to be with people working from home. We've had Unum, which is a large insurance company that's had a long-time presence in downtown. They went to remote work option at the start of the pandemic, and they've since announced they're going to stay that way. So they're not going to be returning to their offices. And so that's a couple of hundred people who used to work in downtown, go to lunch, support some of the local businesses in the downtown. And so there are going to be, I assume, more impacts like that. I think the virtual workplace has worked for a lot of employers and employees, and I do think we're going to have to be reimagining what the typical office environment looks like post-pandemic, which is going to be different than what it was before. So I think that's something we're all going to have to figure out and adapt to.
And that is Worcester City Manager Edward Augustus, Jr. I appreciate you joining us. Thanks.
Thank you.